Yo, welcome back into another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. Yes, of course it is me, Jonathan, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Kenzie.
Hello.
So on this episode, we will be taking a look at 2004's computer animated adventure film, The Polar Express, directed by Robert Zemeckis.
Said Santa would have to fly faster than the speed of light to get to everyone's house in one night. He wasn't sure Santa was for real.
All aboard!
You coming?
Where?
Why, to the North Pole, of course. This is the Polar Express.
Do you know what kind of train this is?
It's a magic train.
Are there any passengers in need of refreshment?
We are on a very tight schedule.
Hold on! Partner! Get us the blazes out of here! Brace yourselves! Stop the train!
Oh, that is more
like it.
There is the North Pole.
Do not try that at home.
Just remember, the true spirit of Christmas lies in your heart.
Now, fuck me, this is a strange... Like, this is another film that I think people really love.
Yeah.
And I'm only saying that because it made a lot of money for a Christmas movie. But it did have an incredible budget, so, I mean, it didn't make stonks of profit, but, yeah. But it was released at a time where film was a bit different and you're only getting $1 billion, like, gross, like, every year and stuff, but... Yeah, is this like a mocap, digital cap, some capture, like...
Cause this early? I don't know.
Well, the conductor looks like Tom Hanks.
He looks a lot like Tom Hanks, like a lot.
But then again, I don't think any of the other characters that he voices...
Why does he voice
really
so many characters?
That's just what happens in these films.
No, my issue is that, is he comparing this to the Jim Carrey one, the Christmas Carol, which is also Robert Zemeckis?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Each voice that Jim Carrey does, you can't tell it's Jim Carrey. But in this film, every voice that Tom Hanks does, you can tell it's Tom Hanks. The minute you got, all you got to hear is like his laugh. Like there's that he plays that guy who's on the roof. I couldn't tell at first, but the minute he laughs, I could tell it was Tom Hanks. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, I like Tom Hanks, but like, I don't know. I feel like it was very noticeable. You could tell every Tom Hanks character in the film.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Jim Carrey is I think Jim Carrey's more synonymous with being able to voice different mm-hmm. characters, I suppose, whereas, I mean, I think Tom Hanks just plays Tom Hanks in every movie.
Is he another one of those guys, yeah?
That, I don't think he changes the way he sounds or anything like that. He's got that kind of sort of drawl to his voice. I mean, I don't know exactly where he's from in America, but he's got a distinct voice, which is not a bad thing if you're being an actor, you know, like having distinguishable qualities is great, but I think over time, yeah, he's become another one of those that plays a version of himself in every movie.
I think he's probably the actor who's played the most real people. Bro, I think they're going to like a somewhat biopic film, they just seem to always jump at Tom Hanks.
Yeah, possibly.
It's weird.
I think he's just one of those actors or film stars, whoever you talk about. It's the way I don't know. I even know why I brought up the two of them there. I was listening to a podcast recently, and they were kind of trying to decipher what the difference between a movie star and an actor was, kind of in their list of 35 over 35. So it was actors over the age of 35 this time instead of under the age of 35. But it wasn't actors, it was like movie stars. And right. I'm like, so this is the funny thing for me is, well, do you want to take a stab at who was number one on the list?
Tom Hanks.
No. I think it's the same actor that we would have number one on our list if we'd done something like that.
Oh, DiCaprio?
Yeah.
Shit.
But I would still call him an actor, not a movie star.
Really?
I think he's kind of... Yeah, he is a movie star. Like, we're not off on a tangent already. But like, he is a movie star, but he's definitively an actor as well. Like,
well,
he,
so
Leonardo DiCaprio is not playing Leonardo DiCaprio in every movie.
Is that what movie star means? Is that what they mean by movie star?
No, they're not playing themselves. No, I'm just trying to say, like, so obviously an actor that I think is really, I can't say underrated, but I think is amazing is Daniel Day-Lewis. Kenzie doesn't really like him that much, and he was quite low down in the list. He was still on the list. At least I think he was on the list. He should have been on the list, but they called him an actor. Do you know, it's... See, I look at, like, Tom Hardy to me is an actor, not a movie star.
So it depends on how good of an actor you think they are, I guess.
No, it depends on how... Well, no, it depends if they put them in a leading role, will the movie make stonks of money? Like, Tom Cruise, if you put Tom Cruise, for look at Top Gun Maverick, Tom Cruise, fucking over $1.5 billion. If Leonardo DiCaprio was in the same film, I doubt it's making $1.5 billion.
Wait, really? Okay.
I just don't think it is. Like, I don't think Tom Cruise is an incredible actor, but I think he's a fantastic movie star.
Right.
I think his acting chops were cut like 30 years ago in all those films, you know, when he'd done things like A Few Good Men and films like that, Rain Man, stuff like that. Now, ever since the mid-90s, he's just been a movie star. He's just been Tom Cruise. It's not a bad thing. I feel like he's just Tom Cruise in every movie now. I don't know. Maybe I'm just reading too much into it and shit. No, that's not what they mean by it. It's just... Tom Hanks was high on the list. And I'm not saying... I don't really want to tarnish Tom Hanks the same brush. I think he is a good actor. Like, arguably one of the best to ever do it. But, yeah. I think Tom Hanks is a bankable movie star. I think if you put him in a film, it's not going to bomb, I don't think. If you get what I mean.
Aye.
Whereas if you put Tom Hardy in Venom 2, it might make money, but critics absolutely pan it, you know. I mean, I don't even know how much money it made, Venom 2. I don't think I've even seen it, so.
I don't know. I think Tom Hanks has hit that point where people are not up. Like, he used to be a kind of big movie star. Like, he's still in a lot, it's just, I don't think he's hit that point. You know what I mean? Where he's just like...
Yeah, fair. Anyway, we went off on a tangent talking about movie stars and Tom Hanks. Back to the Polar Express. I was right. This is the film features human characters animated using live action and mocap CGI animation.
Okay.
Apparently, it was listed in the 2006 Guinness World Records as the first all-digital capture film. That's pretty cool. This technology was obviously advancing at that time. I mean, it was just kind of first of... Because it's like fully digital. I mean, mocap's incredible. Obviously, the GOAT is Andy Serkis. I think he's absolutely incredible. Watching him do what he does is insane sometimes, man. But then again, doesn't really get credit as being just a good actor when he's on screen as well. I think he's quite good in some things that I've seen him in. I quite like Andy Serkis. Anyway, we're off on another tangent. Yes, so this film is based on the Chris Van Allensburg 1985 children's book of the same name. It basically is all set on Christmas Eve. Well, it is all set on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
The thing that struck me right off the bat is, so it's Tom Hanks' voice that's narrating it, right?
Uh-huh.
But what version of, like, he's got so many versions of him. Like, It's adult, so that's adult the boy, and but he plays the father of the boy, but he is the boy as an adult, and it's like, mate, stop frying my brain. Just,
I don't know why they need them to do so many fucking roles.
Saving money, even though the fucking budget is absolutely huge. But anyway, do you know what? Watching other Christmas films back to back, you see a lot of similarities. This is basically about a boy who stopped believing in Santa.
Pretty much.
AKA the older brother Christmas Chronicles.
Yep.
So, I'm not saying it's the same kind of film. One's live action, one's animated. Different stories, but and what I think the premise of this film is, there's the Polar Express is where all the children that are at that age where they're just going to stop believing, they get one last chance to believe. Am I right in saying that?
I don't know. He's the only one who seems to be questioning the belief. Really, it's, I don't know what it is exactly, because most of the other children seem
to... What about the wee guy that he stops the train for? Does he believe?
Well, the boy in the back of the car, the back car.
Aye. But why is he in the fucking poor, the pauper's car?
Yeah,
that's,
I don't know what that's about. I think he's just... he's not had good experiences with it, so he's just, he'd rather stay away from it. I don't know what he really... I don't even know what, really. But the only person who seems to be questioning it, really, is the main character, for the most part. What I noticed at the end of the, near the, what you see at the end of the film is they all leave the film. Oh, sorry, they leave the North Pole with like a word. So like Tom Hanks punches a word into their cards, and they've all got their own, each individual word. So like the new main character had believe because he wasn't believing, but other ones had things like the last they just had lead. The glasses kid had can't remember. And the other one had it. The boy in the pauper cart, as you said, he had.
True. Count on. It was like rely on
a million
stuff
different
like
things.
That, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I kept changing when he turned around. I think it's because he didn't have friends and he'd made friends, so he could rely on people when he didn't think he could.
Right.
I think maybe. One of my biggest gripes with this film is nobody's got a name.
Wait, really?
Like, characters don't have names. Like, what's the... like, it's just Hero Boy.
Wait, really?
Hero Girl. But then you've got Billy. So Billy the Lonely Boy, he gets a name. But then you've got Know-It-All, who is an absolute pain in the arse in this film.
Hate him.
Kill him. He is annoying as fuck. Can't say that. Don't kill him, but he's annoying as fuck, man. So annoying. It's that voice as well.
I mean, sounds a bit like that. Slap him up.
Fuck's sake. Yeah, it's quite strange that nobody's got a name.
I don't mind that, because half these films that I'm watching nowadays, I found out this thing from doing like this podcast, is I don't remember anyone's fucking names in films. So this is actually a good thing for me. I've never remembered names. It's so bad from films and stuff. It's crazy.
Fair. I don't know. Like, I mean, do they need character names? No. I mean, it's based on a book, so... If the children's book's not got names, then why would you just start giving them names? We've spoke about it. Tom Hanks is like the main draw, I suppose. He plays the Hero Boy's adult voice, who's the narrator at the start of the film. He also voices his own father. It's a bit strange, don't know how you can do that. The conductor, which is his kind of main form, I would say, in the film. Yeah. You've got the hobo that sits on top of the train. Santa Claus is also Tom Hanks, and he plays the Ebenezer Scrooge puppet.
Well, the Ebenezer Scrooge puppet was being puppeteered by the guy on the roof.
Aye, but it's Tom Hanks' voice.
Well, of course it is. It's still the hobo guy.
It's still the hobo guy. Right, fair.
Why is there a hobo guy on the roof?
I'm not really sure.
Do you know, this is the thing, I've got a lot of, one of my biggest issues with the film is I don't understand most of the stuff in it.
Shit, I don't understand the film at all. They get on a train, they go to the North Pole to see the elves and Santa Claus.
yeah,
and see that it's real, and then just go home again.
Yeah, like,
but then the narrative. Well, fucking hell, there's like a bell that rings, and then, but if you stop believing or you grow too old to believe, then it doesn't ring if you shake it.
That's the one thing I liked about this film.
But apparently he can still hear it as an adult because he actually still believes.
It's
I don't know.
Kind of weird. Like, surely, like, I mean, his sister could hear it but then couldn't hear it anymore. Surely his sister must understand that, oh, wait, they can't hear it but we can hear it. Now you can't hear it anymore. This is the reason why. Or do they think, oh, it's just because our ears have changed or something? I don't know.
Possibly. What also baffles me, though, in terms of cast, they've got a motion capture actor and a voice.
Oh, right.
So Josh Hutcherson is the additional motion capture for the Hero Boy, but the voice is Daryl Sabra, who is the brother in Spy Kids.
Right.
Sabara. Is that his name? Sabara. Daryl Sabara. That is him. Pretty sure it is. Yes, it is. But Josh Hutcherson is also a really famous actor. So I'm like, so why did he need a different mocap actor? And then the hero girl, so the girl, right, so she's voiced by Nona Gay. Additional motion capture by Darian O'Driscoll. Singing voice by Megan Moore. And the motion capture model is modelled on somebody else. Tinashe.
Huh.
She's an American singer, dancer and actress. What the fuck was going on in that production? Like, I don't understand. Like, you need all these people. But one thing I will say is, the film, the CGI animation looks pretty cool. Robert Zemeckis obviously knows what he's doing. We've already done Disney's A Christmas Carol, which was done by Robert Zemeckis. I think both these films still look really good. I prefer the animation style more. I think it's better in A Christmas Carol, but then again, it's 5 years newer than this film, so maybe it was just getting his sort of hand in this style of mocap CGI animation, but it really works. I mean, I quite like it. I mean, is it as good as Claws? Definitely not. they're the only comparisons we've got. If we're doing animated, you do animated to animated. I know for a fact that there's people out there that will prefer this style of animation, the CGI animation, where I much prefer hand-drawn or what looks like hand-drawn animation. I am a big fan of old-school Disney compared to new-school Disney. I still prefer old school Disney to Pixar movies. I think Pixar was kind of first to move to this style of something similar. I'm guessing it's kind of similar to this animation style. Obviously, the mocap's different, but it's the same sort of CGI stuff, computer generated stuff. But no, it's not terrible. It's still good to look at. I just feel as though it's quite boring. Like, nothing seems to happen. And so, like, the hero child, it's like him, but, I mean, they're all, I just don't understand. Like, so, he hears his mum and dad come into his room, and then there was something, like, that kind of caught me as well. They spoke about an express train not being able to wake him up. And I'm like, right, so they live next to a rail track. Is that why they had to say that? Because otherwise, I mean, and who the fuck's building houses 3 feet from a railway track? Like, that isn't properly penned in. Like, that wee boy jumps out at the end and just runs up into his front door.
I'm sure that there's not actually a train track there. Like,
is it like a fantasy? Is it make-believe?
It must be. Right. Like, okay. How else would that train just, like, go the places it didn't go? I don't know, man.
Another thing that I've fucking don't like about this film is, why is it a musical or kind of a musical?
There's only like one song, is it? Is there not?
No, there's a few.
Well, there's the hot chocolate one, which I remember my friend loving. I don't like it. It's just hot chocolate said a lot of times, I think, really.
Well, the Polar Express is a song. That's Tom Hanks.
Oh, sure. He does sing, doesn't he?
Hot chocolate. Then you've got stuff at the North Pole. Oh, you've got a lot of big songs like featured, like Bing Crosby's White Christmas is in there, Frank Sinatra's Santa Claus Coming to Town. Do you know, fucking, people might already know this if they're fans of Polar Express, but I'm shocked to see that Aerosmith frontman Steven Tyler has a voice in this fucking film.
Who is he?
The Elf Lieutenant and the Elf Singer.
I knew I recognised.
Yeah, it's strange to see Steven Tyler pop up here. I mean, this film's good, but like, I've got a lot of issues with it.
And I just
I think that's the problem here. With Claws, I have no issues with it, animated. Like, I think I'm liking these animated films more than the live-action Christmas films, which is quite strange.
Well, the other two, definitely. This one's just kind of... not as much for me. I don't know. I've from what I remember seeing this film, I never really liked it that much, and still I kind of feel the same. I just think it's a bit crazy. Like, they go on, like, I don't understand why things are happening in this film. Like, they get on the train, they've all got tickets, right? The woman loses her ticket, of course, right? So, since she loses her ticket, Tom Hanks sticks her in the front of the train?
Yeah, but there's all that thing where... he goes, but how, but he go, so, right, that's another thing, this is a great truth, he picks the ticket up to go and give it to her, subsequently ends up losing the ticket, but follows them the way that they were going, but then gets to the end of the train. This is, like, where fantasy becomes a bit of an issue, is there's no coherence, like, so he goes to the top of the train, ends up walking, meeting the hobo, they have a weird fucking conversation, he offers them a cup of Joe. Say, why can't you say coffee? Anyway, what did they call it, Joe? They called it something. Wasn't it coffee, was it?
Oh, I don't know what it
anyway,
was.
And then eventually he ends up finding her and then, like, and driving the train. And I was like, so why did he go the opposite way? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
Like, it's strange. I don't know. Like, the hobo, he's confusing. Not really sure why he's there.
Why is there? He apparently owns the train. Is he Santa? I don't know. I just didn't get it.
He rides this, like, I don't know. Like, so you've got that. They end up at the North Pole, and then obviously disaster happens again where they end up a train car that gets unhinged and flying back down, and then that's where they go and find, I don't even know where they go. It's a bit strange. And then they end up in the Saki presence and on the sleigh or whatever, the airlifting thing that lifts the Saki out onto the sleigh. It's a bit of a weird film. A lot does happen, but not a lot of good things. It's a bit strange. It's just basically about a train journey to the North Pole. And that sounds quite boring when you say it out loud.
Like, the animation's kind of good, I guess. But like,
animation's the best thing about the film, like, 100%. Like, I really like the animation style. Is it my favourite animation style? No, but it still looks fantastic, even now.
I just feel like everyone's faces look weird.
But I think that's the thing with mocap, though, isn't it?
I think it looks better in the Polar Christmas Carol, but I think it's just because it's advanced a bit more.
Well, possibly. Like, this is the thing. We're at a stage of the podcast where Jonathan pulls out the fun facts. This is the first movie filmed entirely with motion capture. I don't know if I said that at the start, but maybe I did. Apparently the animation wasn't a hit with everyone, and that's weird.
People like it. A lot of people don't like the animation, and I kind of get it. Like, it looks kind of... I just think it's just not quite there yet. I think that's the only thing I can say, really, about it, is...
Yeah.
Christmas Carol just works a lot better. I think those, what, 4 or 5 extra years, just... Yeah, it just... The mocap was better. I think his faces, especially faces, look kind of weird in this film. But I don't know. People, yeah, but I don't. I don't know if people are fans of like this the realistic animation style.
Maybe not. Maybe well, over time it's become more popular. Well, I think the thing is with these budgets, they end up pushing the boat out to get to this style of animation, because both this and Christmas Carol have got massive budgets, which is actually surprising. We brought it up in the Claws episode, which we'd done before we'd done this one. But both of these films, the Zemeckis films, have had budgets well over 100 million, like north of 150 million even. Clauses, if I'm right in saying, is 40, and we both thought it was incredible.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just don't need your animation to be the best thing about the film. Which is sadly the best thing about both the Zemeckis films is the animation now looking back. I mean, you don't quite like the Polar Express. I still quite like it. I could see where they were going, and obviously when you get to watch, retroactively watch things like this, and then what he done with A Christmas Carol, you can see just how it's developed. Apparently there was nods to Back to the Future in this, but I don't know what Easter eggs were there. Oh, but apparently there's a flux capacitor hidden on the wall of the train's engine room.
Oh, okay.
And apparently in the beginning of the animated film, there was a photograph of Santa's on strike outside the Twin Pines Mall, which is the same place where Martin McFly successfully time travels for the first time and Back to the Future. We know that the Polar Express was modelled after a real train, because that fucking nerdy cunt, when they stopped talking about it. I don't even know what the train model was. I can't even be asked. The Per Marquette 1225. It was apparently one of the largest operational steam trains in the country at the time. What? Unless you have a deep knowledge of Zemeckis' childhood, this Easter egg lightly flew over your head. Toward the beginning of the Polar Express, the conductor shouts out what sounds like a random address. 11,344 Edbrook, which is actually the address of Robert Zemeckis', where he grew up in Chicago. Weird. Fuck's sake, this is... Oh, no way. Apparently, the Pier Marquette 1225 still takes passengers on pleasure rides under the name the North Pole Express every year around the holidays. This film's just ingrained in Christmas, I think. I think if we didn't have it on the list, it might have been a shock to people. I don't really know what more to say about it. Other than, if you like this film and you haven't seen Disney's A Christmas Carol, Disney's A Christmas Carol is a step up from this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's all I would say.
Should we just go to the reviews? I mean, that's like 32 minutes.
There you go. We've timed out. Yeah, I think we should just go to the ratings. Do you want to go first, though?
Sure. I would probably give this film a 3. Like, it's all right. It's another one of these kind of decent Christmas films. I'm just not as big on it. I just think the animation looks quite good, especially for the time. 2004. As Jonathan said, the first film to be fully mocapped, which is quite crazy. That's quite early. I didn't think that would have even been done in 2004, but it has. It had been. So that's kind of crazy. I also agree that The Christmas Carol is a big step up, and I do prefer that film. Other things about the film, I don't know. The story's all right. It's a bit crazy. It just kind of. Stuff kind of happens, you're like, kind of, what is happening? It's a bit bizarre. Tom Hanks is a big part of this film. He voices a lot of the characters. I'm not a big fan of that because you can usually tell that Tom Hanks is voicing that character. I much preferred and a Chris Carroll when Jim Carrey did the same kind of thing because you could never really tell it was him. He was much better at doing different voices than I think Tom Hanks was, but I don't know, Tom Hanks was quite a big name at the time, so I guess that's why he was chosen for it. I do like Tom Hanks. But yeah, I just, the film was decent. It's just not, I'm not too big on it. People love this film. People genuinely do. It was always talked about a lot when I was quite young by a lot of my friends who all really liked it at the time. It was never there for me. So yeah, I will give it a 3, and that's about as high as I can go.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think I'm there, but I'm unsure of what I've been rating everything else, and that's what I'm a bit alarmed about. So I'm doing a bit of a retroactive review here. I'm going to bump, and I know the podcast's already been released and it was one of the first ones, but based on the fact that we've now done, I don't know, like half of the films, if not more, I'm going to bump Disney's A Christmas Carol up to a 4 out of 5.
Right.
Because I genuinely feel as though it's the second best film I've watched so far.
I thought you already gave Christmas Carol a 4.
Did I give it a 4?
I think you did. I think I gave it a 3.5 and you gave it a 4.
Well, I'm just saying that because I'm saying that I'm bumping up to a 4 because I'm close to you, but I quite like this. I'm going to give this a 3.5 because this is a film that I would watch the Polar Express over a number of the films that we've watched as well. There's something about it that I do quite like. One thing that kind of baffles me, just before we wrap this up though, is we're adults, this is quite a complex narrative. How the fuck do kids understand what's going on? Yeah, I guess it's like Santa and it's about Christmas and presents and believing and shit, but it's quite mental at parts as well. And that's been my gripe with some of these films, is like, it's ones that are maybe, I don't know, like, related to or be aimed at kids, but then again, a lot of the films that we have done so far aren't necessarily aimed at kids, and they're not really going to watch the older films that we've done, you know, like Miracle on 34th Street and White Christmas. So, yeah, it's strange. I like it. I think the animation is better for me than what Kenzie says, and yeah, I'm sort of higher on it than him. Not too much, but yeah, I still agree with Kenzie and say that if you like this and you like the animation and you haven't seen Disney's A Christmas Carol with Mr. Jim Carrey in it, definitely watch that because it is a massive jump up for me. I'm quite shocked to see that this is only a 56% in the Tomato Meter on Rotten Tomatoes, 64% audience score. That is low for a Christmas film that's grossed over $300 million, 6.69 IMDb. That shocked me completely. I disagree with that. I'm a lot higher than those. Even Kenzie's higher. But yeah, we hope you've enjoyed listening to this one. And if you haven't seen The Polar Express, I do recommend going out and watching it. It's a fun sort of festive film for all the family. If you've got kids and you listen to the podcast, or if you're a younger listener, not that you will be, because the films that we normally talk about in the main series are definitely not aimed at kids. But yeah, if you are an adult and you have kids and you've not seen The Polar Express, check out this holiday season. It is a fun fantasy, kind of its own niche sort of thing. Then again, it was based on a book, so yeah. So that is it for this episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. It has been a pleasure as always. And yeah, you know where to find us by now if you're listeners to the podcast. Just search Cult Film Cafe on wherever you get your podcast. And if you would like to go and support us and give us a wee follow over on Instagram and Twitter, we are at Cult Film Cafe over there. That would be much appreciated. And we love to do this and we love the fact that people enjoy listening along. And we'll continue to release episodes until people stop listening. And even at that point, me and Kenzie might still record them and just listen to them ourselves because we talk about films a lot, even if it's not recorded. So yeah, we're nearly there. I think we're in the final push to get these out before Christmas. And we've got a couple of Christmas crackers, hey hey, coming up. More specifically, my favourite Christmas film of all time and Kenzie's favourite Christmas film of all time. They will be out towards the end of the series, and we've got an absolute Christmas classic that none of us have seen coming up, and I'm really looking forward to that. So yeah, it's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
Podcast out.